Thank you for listening to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Larry Suttle, the preaching minister of over 20 years, weekly instructs and encourages those attending the services at the 10th and Broad Church of Christ in Wichita Falls, Texas. Let's join Larry now for this week's lesson.
If you'd be turning, please, to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. We're going to be looking today at verses 11 and 12 as we continue our drawing lessons from the great book of Colossians in the New Testament. If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to turn there. We may even have some Bibles in the rack in front of you. And if you don't know where Colossians is, we'll join the club. A lot of others don't either. So don't be embarrassed by turning to the table of contents and looking it up. We're going to be looking at chapter 2, verses 11 and 12 this morning. How many of you have had surgery in your lifetime? Let me see your hand. Whoa. Wow, a lot of scars here today. And, you know, surgery is a big deal. Fortunately, I have never had to have surgery. Nikki's made up for me. She's had a good many of them. But it's a big deal. It's a big deal. It's something you do when there's nothing else to do. I mean, if medication will do it, you'll do medication. You won't just do surgery right off the bat. No, it's a major thing. Last resort. And you will make sure that you have the best surgeon available. And likely, you will travel any distance, as I know some of you have, to go to that person with the reputation of being a great surgeon. Well, in our text today, Colossians chapter 2, beginning in verse 11, Paul says, baptism is like surgery. That's what he said. Baptism is like surgery in the hands of the most skilled surgeon, Jesus Christ. Circumcision was a surgical procedure performed on male babies and is still performed on male children. In the Old Testament, it was a sign of the special or covenant relationship of the Jews and God. In the New Testament, circumcision is used as a figure for God's cutting away from us our sinful nature and becoming His very own people. And that surgery actually occurs in baptism. Now that's what Paul said as he writes to the church in Colossae, to these new Christians. Here's what he says. In Him you were also circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with a circumcision done by the hands of men, but with the circumcision done by Christ, having been buried with Him in baptism and raised with Him through your faith in the power of God, who raised Him from the dead. Okay, very quickly in our Bible lesson this morning, 4 points that Paul makes about baptism. Now, you might want to write these down. On the other side of your prayer list, there's a blank sheet. You might want to write these little points down. It's Paul's teaching about baptism, taken from Colossians, and as you talk and have conversations with your friends and relatives, many of them who do not think baptism is all that significant, it's a good option to exercise, but nothing you really need to do, this might be valuable information. I know as a preacher, I always feel like when I am preaching on baptism, and there are other points like it, that I'm fighting a fight that I ought not to have to be fighting. And I've wondered, well, why is this such a sticking point with people? Why do I always feel like I'm having to step up and overcome a ready-made opposition to an idea? For some reason, baptism is a stumbling block in the minds of Christian people. But I want you to notice what Paul said here in regard to baptism, and I've devised a neat little outline. John, you're permitted to use this. This is mine. And outlines like this, excited to use this. This is mine. And outlines like this excite preachers. They don't excite anybody else, but preachers think, well, I've got to write that down. I'll steal that and take that back home. Well, you take it back to Granbury. This is mine. And outlines like this excite preachers. They don't excite anybody else, but preachers think, well, I've got to write that down. I'll steal that and take that back home. Well, you take it back to Granbury. Number one, this is mine. And outlines like this excite preachers. They don't excite anybody else, but preachers think, well, I've got to write that down. I'll steal that and take that back home. Well, you take it back to Granbury. Number one, and outlines like this excite preachers. They don't excite anybody else, but preachers think, well, I've got to write that down. I'll steal that and take that back home. Well, you take it back to Granbury. Number one, baptism is a shared, and outlines like this excite preachers. They don't excite anybody else, but preachers think, well, I've got to write that down. I'll steal that and take that back home. Well, you take it back to Granbury. Number one, baptism is a shared, have come into Christ by acceptance of Christ by faith, and then there are others who have undergone some kind of rebirth experience and they've been baptized. And so you have two groups of Christians out here, some who have been baptized, others who haven't, but it's having been baptized. Okay, number two, it is a submissive experience. A submissive experience, like surgery, it is not something that you do, it is something that is done to you. Unless you're a surgeon. For most everybody who raised their hand today who had surgery, it was something done to you. Surgery is a passive experience to the extreme. I mean, it's somebody working on you. It's not something you do. So this idea of baptism being a work, and thus, oh, we can't work our way to heaven. Salvation is not by works. I don't know where they get that. Surgery, baptism, is a passive experience, like surgery. It's done to you. Number three, and I thought this was clever. In fact, I'd left it off my original outline, and then I just had to add it. I was looking for S's, you see. Preachers kind of think things like that. You know, I couldn't have had something that started with a Q or a L. It had to be an S. And so at the last minute, I thought of this. How did I miss this? Number three, it's a submerging experience. It's a submerging experience. Well, it is. It's a burial. That's what Paul said. Having been buried in baptism. Did you know that's what the word means? Baptism in the Greek language, the language of the New Testament. It means to bury, like you'd bury a body in the ground after they die. Baptism is a burial. It's an immersion in water. My friend, if you were sprinkled, if you had water poured on you, you were not baptized. By definition, you were not baptized. Something occurred, and maybe something meaningful to you, but you were not baptized. Baptism is a submerging experience. Wasn't that clever? Well, it's more than clever. It's what Paul said. That's the important thing. But maybe this is the most important thing of all. And it also starts with an S. It's a saving experience. Baptism is a saving experience. Like surgery, it is intended to save life. It's, again, a last resort. Nothing else will do. If other means would do it, you'd explore those other means. But surgery is a saving experience. Now, I know someone will say, well, you know, that's not exactly right, Larry. There are surgeries that aren't life and death matters today. There are cosmetic surgeries. There are what we would call elective surgery. That would seem very strange to people of several generations ago, wouldn't it? Having cosmetic surgery or elective surgery you could choose to do. Someone would even point out, well, circumcision was not a life and death matter, and I suppose it wasn't, although it certainly had sanitary and infection kind of related issues for the Jewish people, Hebrew babies. But the way Paul used it in our text today, it was a life and death issue. Notice in verse 13 of Colossians chapter 2, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins. The way Paul meant it, this surgery was a life and death issue. Baptism, as a result, becomes one of the most defining, if not the defining, moment, the most memorable moment in your life. It's the point at which all of your sins, all of your past sins, were forgiven. Now that is the language of the Scripture, Acts 2 verse 38, or look at Acts 22, 16, talking about Saul of Tarsus, who became the Apostle Paul. Ananias told him, "Why do you wait? Get up and be baptized, washing away all your sins." Well, that's the way baptism is. And you remember it. Those of you who raised your hands about having surgery, do you remember when you had those surgeries? Do you remember that experience? Raise your hand. Let me see you. Hands again. Do you remember that experience? Those of you who have been baptized into Christ, do you remember that baptism? Raise your hand. Let me see if you remember your other surgery when God cut away your sinful nature. You remember it, don't you? You remember the circumstance. You remember the time. It was a point in history, your history, that you can always look back on and say, that was the time. Here was the time. Before, I lived a certain kind of life. Now, I live another kind of life. It's a point in time. You see, that's not possible by faith. People say, well, I'm saved by faith. Well, when did you have faith? When did you come to have faith? Well, I don't know. It was sometime when I was 6 or 7, I guess. I don't know. Well, no, you'll never know. There's no way to know. But that's not the way it is with surgery, and it's not the way it is with baptism. You'll always know when you had that sinful nature surgically removed by the greatest and most skilled of all surgeons, Jesus Christ. Now that's what Paul taught about baptism. Now I want to point out something else. Baptism is the result of your faith. In verse 12 of Colossians chapter 2, Paul says, having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. Baptism is an outflow, it's a result of faith. There is no conflict, there is no tension between having faith and baptism. Now, some people want to frame it that way. They want to say, well, it's an either-or situation. It's not. Baptism is the result of faith. People always want to point out to me or you and when you're discussing baptism, well, what about the statements like in Acts chapter 16 where it talks about the Philippian jailer. And Paul tells the Philippian jailer, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. What about that, Larry? See, that proves you don't need to be baptized, because Paul never said anything about baptism. Well, in Colossians chapter 2, we kind of have a sense of how Paul thinks and what he's doing here. Baptism is the consequence of your faith, just like the regular season is to spring training. I mean, it just naturally comes. Baptism is just like the wedding ceremony to engagement. I mean, it's just the logical next step. Faith is that way. Faith just never sits there. Faith does. Faith obeys. Faith is action. And James made that point as he discussed faith in his little epistle. I mean, you don't just talk about your faith. You can't just say, I've got it. Faith is something that does something. The surgeon tells you you need surgery. Well, okay. Your decision will be based on your faith in that procedure, but also that surgeon. But you see, you don't have real faith in either one of those unless you have the surgery. Just having faith in the surgeon is not going to be sufficient. If surgery is necessary for healing to occur, you must go ahead then and act on your faith and have the surgery or baptism. Some of you still need the surgery. I mean, you're good folks. And you have faith. You have faith in Jesus Christ. And that's great. But you still need the surgery. And the need is obvious. The sin and the infection still courses throughout your body. And you grapple with it every day. Or you still need the surgery, or maybe you need to be buried. Maybe you've never been buried with the Lord in baptism. You've had some kind of an experience. When I was born, by virtue of the place I was born, I was sprinkled as a little infant. I knew nothing about it. I was only told about it later. I do not go through my life, however, celebrating my having been baptized as a helpless infant. Some of you still need the surgery that is described in the New Testament. This morning, I'm asking you, all people who fall in that description, to step out in your faith and have the surgery. Be baptized. You've come to a certain point and then you've stopped. You've stopped a step too soon. Your obedience is incomplete. You're on the right track. You have faith in the surgeon. You have faith in the procedure. But you've just never done it. In just a few minutes, we're going to, as a congregation of people who have been immersed into Christ, we're going to pray for every person who may be here, even if we don't know who they are by name. We're going to pause and pray that everyone who has not been baptized into Christ will take that step this morning. Just like they did at Colossae, and like was done in all cases, all examples of conversion in the New Testament. Did you know that? Every example in the New Testament showing what people did to become Christians, they were all, without exception, baptized. So we're going to be praying for you that you will, as soon as you can, step out in faith and have that surgical procedure finally done. Okay? Now others, some of you have not had the surgery. Others of you have had the surgery. You've been baptized. But you're thinking, it may not have taken. Because even though I've been baptized, I still have the same old desire. I still have the same old desires, and I still sin. So it must not have taken. Next week, next Sunday, I want to address that. But now it seems like you have fallen back into the same old patterns of life. What about that? Well, I want to assure you, it seems like you have fallen back into the same old patterns of life. What about that? Well, I want to assure you, just in advance of waiting for a week, I want to assure you, it seems like you have fallen back into the same old patterns of life. What about that? Well, I want to assure you, just in advance of waiting for a week, I want to assure you, that the surgery did take. Even though you still sin, the surgery is so effective in the hands of the surgeon. Even though you still sin and you still have battles in your life, I want to assure you, your baptism took. And I'll show you how and why next week. So please come back for that. But we all fall maybe in one of those two categories. We've stopped short of having the procedure, or we have had the procedure and wonder about it. But that's next week. This morning, I want us to pray silently for every person who still needs the surgery. If you know them by name, mention them by name in your silent prayer to God. Pray that they will be moved today to make that step. Their obedience to this point is in. Or while we are praying, I will be watching. If you want to just come on down, and I'll receive you and we'll baptize you right now in this assembly. Or while we are praying, I will be watching. If you want to just come on down, and I'll receive you and we'll baptize you right now in this assembly. Just march right on down while everybody else is praying. You just come right on down and I'll greet you. And we'll have you make the confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's what people did in the New Testament to become Christians. They confessed Christ as the new Lord of their life. And then they were immersed into Jesus. And we'll do that this morning. Either right now, while we pray, or right after the service, you go into the alcove, and let's get this process going. Or if you have other needs in your life that pastors and ministers can help you with by prayer, or if you simply want to identify yourself as a member of this church, that'd be a great time to do that. Either after the service or just come on right down now. As I close, though, this morning, I want to read something from Lee Strobel. Some of you know of him. He's written several books. And he tells of an experience when several were baptized, and the preacher called on the people who were baptized to come up, and before their baptism, write on a piece of paper sins in their life, especially secret sins that no one else knew about. And as they would go into the baptistry, there was a large wooden cross, and they were asked to pin that sheet of paper on that cross as they were baptized. The figure being, of course, that Jesus, in His death and His burial and His resurrection, forever took care of the sins of anyone's life, even the secret sins of their life. Anyway, in the book he shares this letter that a woman wrote who was baptized on that occasion. She said, "I remember my fear. In fact, it was the most fear I remember in my life. I wrote as tiny as I could on that piece of paper the word abortion. I was so scared someone would open the paper and read it and find out it was me. I wanted to get up and walk out of the auditorium during the service. The guilt and fear were that strong. When my turn came, I walked across towards the cross. And I pinned the paper there. I was directed to the preacher who was to be the one to baptize me. He looked at me straight in my eyes, and I thought for sure that he was going to read this terrible secret I kept from everybody for so long. But instead, I felt like God was telling me, 'I love you. It's okay. You've been forgiven.' I felt so much love for me, a terrible sinner. It's the first time I ever really felt forgiveness and unconditional love. It was unbelievable, indescribable." Do you have a piece of paper on which is written the most dark episodes and chapters of your life that need to be pinned to that cross, and the skilled surgeon cut away not only a sinful nature, but a painful, painful past? Today needs to be the day. To delay is to deny. If it's not done today, feeling the way you feel today, odds are you never will. Let's all stand together and let's bow our heads in prayer. And while everybody else is praying, if you've never had the surgery, you decide to go through these doors right after the singing of our last song, or you just come on right on down right now, please be praying. Everybody bow your head and pray. You may not even know whom you're praying for. You don't know their soul's condition. But pray that anyone in this audience who has not been baptized will be baptized today. Hear our prayer, O Lord. We feel the burden of other people. We want them in heaven, right along with us. Please, Lord, remove those obstacles or patterns of thinking that are not biblical. Move them, Father. Move them today. In the name of Jesus, amen.